In the aftermath of Idi Amin's brutal dictatorship, three sisters come of age in Uganda. That's the backdrop for a new collection of related short stories that reads like a novel. In the stories, the sisters confront issues of class and religion, the ravages of AIDS, and identity as one of the sisters moves to America, then back again to Uganda. This collection of stories by Doreen Bangana is called Tropical Fish, and she joins me now. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're from Uganda?
Yes, I am.
I believe you moved to the U.S. about 12 years ago.
Yes, I moved in 1991.
Now, this takes place after the harsh years of Idi Amin. He ruled in the 70s. You were a child then.
Yes.
You don't talk directly about his rule. I mean, hundreds of thousands of Ugandans were killed. But did coming through that experience inform the characters that you create here?
Yes, I wanted to approach it in a much more subtle manner, because I think anyone who has lived through tough regimes know that sometimes they don't impact you directly. For some people, though, they do, those who lost family members. But I did not. But the whole atmosphere of tension, the atmosphere of fear. For example, in one story, I think it was Questions of Home, when she passes by a roadblock and the soldiers are now sort of friendly and not as menacing as they used to be. Things like this sort of color your whole existence. And that's what I was trying to show, that also in the midst of all this, they lived almost normal lives, what could be called normal.
So the three sisters in this book, Rosa, Patty, and Christine.
Yes.
Tell me about them.
I wanted to have three sisters to sort of show the different possible destinies and have them react differently to almost a similar background. One goes sort of deeply into religion, which many people tend to do. Another is so immersed in living life, as we call it, and ends up, I wouldn't say as a fault of her own. Well, I shouldn't say the ending.
It's up to you.
Anyway, there are some repercussions to the choices she has made. And of course, another decides to leave home, which many middle-class Ugandans, or a number of them who get the chance, do.
There's also the very tricky issue of this continuing conflicted relationship between blacks and whites. And you've got a character, Peter, who's British.
Yes.
Who exports tropical fish from Uganda. And Christine, the sister Christine, has a relationship with him. Can I ask you to read a bit?
Sure.
Here. We'll note here, Peter is older, and Muzungu is, I think, Swahili word for
yes.
White man.
Yes. In town, as Peter dropped me off, he kissed me on the mouth in the middle of Luwum Street, in front of the crowds, before breezing away. I was left in the bustling, dusty street, feeling the people's stares like the sun burning. Who was this girl being kissed in broad daylight by some old Muzungu? Aha, these Malayas are becoming too bold. Couldn't she find a younger one at the Sheraton? One man shouted to Peter for the crowd in Luganda. She's going to give you AIDS. Look how thin she is. Everyone laughed. Another one answered, it's their fault, these Bazungu. They like their women thin. Let them fall sick. General laughter. I walked down to the taxi park, ignoring them. A girl like me didn't spend her time in the streets arguing with Bayaye. I had better things to do. Not over Christmas, but he would come back, call me when he needed me, and I would escape to the big white house, the gin and tonic life, my holiday. Well, campus too was a kind of holiday before real life ahead of me, work if I could get it, at a government job that didn't pay, in a dusty old colonial-style office, wearing shoes in desperate need of repair, eating roasted maize for lunch, getting debts and kids, becoming my parents. One option was marriage to someone from the right family, the right tribe, the right pocketbook and potbelly, to have him pay the bills. With my degree, I would be worth exotic cows, Frisians or Jerseys, not the common long-horned Ankole cattle. But I didn't have to think about that for two more years. For now, I had my game, being someone else or no one for a few hours.
So, 3 decades after colonialism ended, tell me about this relationship between...
Well, I think this type of relationship happens quite often where foreigners, mostly white people, come in with more resources, wealth, and they're better able to use the resources in the country, such as exporting tropical fish or opening up industries, and perhaps resources in terms of human beings, if I put it crudely. And so the young girls are looking for an opportunity in life, looking for a way out. And this particular girl has a middle class background. So one would ask, why would she be doing this? But she's adventurous, perhaps a little bit of a rebel, and is trying to escape her own life.
You mentioned middle class. I think it's an interesting and maybe unusual voice for Westerners to hear, a middle class, upper middle class, maybe, African voice. If someone gets most of their knowledge about Africa from the news, it's crises and famines and wars, and this is different.
I think that was intentional on my part, because I do think that what we hear in the news is very sad: wars, disease, corrupt governments. And yes, that is Africa, but it's not the whole story. It's not the whole story. And I have never seen my upbringing and the upbringing of many people like me written down, or, you know, I have here and there, but it's not that common. And I felt like, you know, I'd like to tell stories about people like me. The worst thing one can do is generalize about Africa, but it is so common. And I think stories help to get to the personal instead of the generalized approach of the news.
Now, Christine moves to the U.S. in one of the stories, as you have done.
Yes.
Can I ask you to read a bit?
Sure.
This is when she's fairly new to Los Angeles. I think she's actually living in Pasadena, and she's finding life a bit cold.
Luckily, because everything works and is automatic, there's less and less need to talk. My salary mysteriously enters my account. I don't need to touch money itself or go to the bank. I find a window machine and punch in some numbers. The numbers mean something. Out slips money, silently, smoothly. It must be mine. I take it. At the supermarket, I don't even need to use cash. I give the person at the counter my card, and she lets me take the groceries, which are all wrapped up in four or five layers of crinkly paper and packed in colored boxes with pictures as though they were children's toys. There's no need to talk to anyone. A machine tells you how much, and the person at the counter smiles mechanically. She may say, "How are you, ma'am?" smiling on and off like a switch. But is she really talking to me? Me? Or to a body buying food? The price is fixed anyway. There's nothing to argue about, nothing to say.
Was your adjustment to life in the States so profoundly depressing in some sense?
Yes, it was. It's hard to explain how we grow up, or how I grew up among people. There are 9 of us in the family. It's just always bustling with people and life. And it seems here, it seemed to me at that time, that machines had replaced actual people. I mean, now that I've lived in these urban areas for so long, I kind of treasure my privacy, or maybe I've changed as an American. So it's kind of nice not to have to deal with people too much.
So does it come to seem normal? 12 years later, what feels like home to you, and what seems normal?
I really feel like I have two homes. When I'm here, I am thinking about Entebbe, Uganda, as my home. And it's almost nostalgia becomes a habit, and always looking back. When I go back home, for example, in 2003, I was back for 4 months. There are some, then I realize I've changed, the place has changed. And I'm just, you know, I'm thinking like, I wish they had 2% milk. This milk is too fatty. And God, I wish this bus would leave now. I wish there was a schedule. And I just wish I could have some time alone. So in that sense, I guess one would say I've become American, sort of. And yet coming to the West makes me more conscious of my African identity. So it's kind of an ongoing battle that I think I'm going to live the rest of my life. Any neo-colonial subject lives this way.
Doreen Bengana, her first book of short stories is called Tropical Fish, Stories Out of Entebbe. She is a writer in residence at the University of Maryland. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden.